Imagine a leader so effective that his empire stretched from India to Greece, whose governance principles influenced figures from Alexander the Great to Thomas Jefferson. While modern executives chase the latest management fads, Xenophon's account of Cyrus the Great remains perhaps history's most profound leadership manual. Unlike Machiavelli's cynical approach, which his work partly inspired, Cyrus understood that sustainable leadership requires both wisdom and ethical conduct. He created history's first true multicultural empire not through brutal domination, but through psychological insight, strategic brilliance, and moral clarity. His story offers timeless wisdom for anyone seeking to lead with both effectiveness and integrity. Born into Persia's warrior culture, Cyrus learned to respond to danger with calculated composure rather than emotional reaction. While royal birth provided opportunity, it was his personal qualities that enabled his extraordinary achievements. The young prince understood early that wealth preserved through ethical principles endures, while riches gained through exploitation vanish. This wisdom came partly from observing failed empires where brutal exploitation led to constant rebellion. What truly distinguished Cyrus was his insatiable curiosity about both people and governance systems. Merchants visiting his father's court found themselves engaged in lengthy conversations with the young prince about distant lands and customs. He sought wisdom from diverse traditions, Babylonian astronomers, Greek philosophers, Median priests, earning the nickname Well of Knowledge for his genuine desire to understand different perspectives. What separated Cyrus from ordinary commanders was his ability to envision possibilities others couldn't see. When addressing his officers, he promised swift victories that would bring honor and wealth to Persia, a departure from traditional Persian warfare that reflected deeper strategic insight. His vision manifested in tactical innovations. When outnumbered by Assyrian forces, Cyrus persuaded his uncle to upgrade from light to heavy infantry, a transformation that proved decisive. He excelled at combining different military traditions while maintaining strategic patience, careful not to reveal ambitions that might alarm his officers. During an Assyrian advance delay, Cyrus recognized that inactivity breeds internal tensions. He proposed advancing into enemy territory, skillfully framing it to his uncle as a way to sustain their forces on enemy resources rather than depleting Median supplies. Cyrus understood that battles are decided more by the morale of troops than by bodily strength, a principle modern military psychology confirms. He balanced respect for command with strategic necessity, committing to lead from the front rank, declaring it the only place where a true commander can feel at home during battle. Cyrus's father taught him that followers stay loyal when their interests align with their leader's actions. He applied this insight by tailoring his message, emphasizing tactical advantages to nobles and advancement opportunities to commoners. Cyrus minimized rank distinctions by having officers and commoners share tents and meals, transforming potential class tensions into cooperation through equal treatment. He recognized that facing a common enemy unites people, noting that in danger, soldiers see each other as allies rather than rivals. Above all, Cyrus understood that true leadership develops others. His father's wisdom that guiding others to fulfill their potential surpasses personal achievement became the foundation of his empire-building approach. Cyrus excelled at building diverse coalitions through diplomacy. After defeating the Assyrians, he publicly recognized and promoted heroes based on merit, regardless of background, showing others that excellence would be rewarded. When Hyrcanian ambassadors offered alliance against Assyria, Cyrus trusted their word without demanding hostages, seeing them as a sign of his destined success. This calculated trust repeatedly expanded his coalition. He made his army dependent on conquest for survival by avoiding supply trains, ensuring their interests aligned with strategic goals. After victories, Cyrus earned loyalty by prioritizing rewards to critical allies. He insisted officers wait until allies finished fighting before claiming spoils, noting, "We can gain a fortune in that precious stuff called loyalty by being generous." His most powerful coalition-building move was freeing and arming the strongest captives, incorporating them into his army as equals. "Whenever you can, act as a liberator," he advised, believing that freedom, dignity, and wealth, these three together constitute the great happiness of humanity. When allies returned with captured horses while his Persians lagged behind, Cyrus seized the chance to modernize his army's mobility. He acknowledged to officers that Persian infantry couldn't effectively chase enemies. "We'll pursue them with all the speed of stumps in an orchard." Anticipating resistance to cavalry adoption, he preemptively addressed concerns, reminding officers of their existing horsemanship from hunting. His masterful innovation emerged during Babylon's siege. While ostensibly ordering trenches for blockade, he secretly planned to divert the Euphrates River, creating a dry riverbed entrance. During Babylon's festival, as inhabitants celebrated drunkenly, his forces entered through the drained riverbed. By dawn, Cyrus had captured the ancient world's greatest city with minimal bloodshed. Cyrus also pioneered a multicultural empire that respected local customs while maintaining central control. He appointed regional governors but kept direct authority over imperial citadels and garrisons, balancing local autonomy with strategic power. This pattern of anticipating and addressing concerns before they became opposition defined his leadership approach. Cyrus's distinction lay in his ethical approach to power. After conquering Babylon, he chose a plain chair over the Assyrian throne, symbolically rejecting tyranny. When freed prisoners bowed, he immediately declared their freedom. His leadership merged mercy with pragmatism. Rather than destroy defeated Egyptian forces, he offered them alliance with better pay. When his uncle confronted him about unauthorized cavalry use, he humbly acknowledged his mistake, demonstrating his commitment to truth over ego. His philosophy extended to wealth management. When Croesus criticized his generosity, Cyrus explained that enriching friends created living treasuries more valuable than hoarded wealth. In his final council, he advised his heir that the empire's strength lay in faithful friends won through kindness, a principle that defined his rule and endures today. Cyrus transformed the world through mental acuity and moral character rather than physical might. He understood that leadership required building flexible systems, not rigid structures. When his uncle requested military assistance, Cyrus assembled an army with revolutionary organizational changes, selecting leaders based on merit rather than birth, a principle that would define his empire. The qualities that define Cyrus, strategic vision, psychological insight, coalition building, innovation, and ethical leadership, remain relevant today. Modern leaders face different challenges but need the same core abilities: envisioning possibilities, understanding human motivation, building diverse alliances, transforming limitations into advantages, and maintaining ethical standards despite power's temptations. Cyrus's greatest legacy was proving that effective leadership doesn't require sacrificing moral principles. In an era when many equated power with brutality, he demonstrated that sustainable empire building demands wisdom, justice, and respect for human dignity. His example shows that lasting influence comes from creating systems where diverse peoples can flourish, a lesson as vital today as in ancient Persia.